We're going to learn Daf Samach Hei in Maseches Nedarim. We're going to start right from the top. So the Gemara beforehand happened to bring a famous Agada to Gemara about four people that are Choshev Kemeis, and one of them was somebody who becomes an Ani. And we brought the story with Moshe Rabbeinu. And we quoted from that pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was time for him to go back to Mitzrayim, Kimesu Anoshim, Kimesu Kol Anoshim, that they all died. So once we're quoting that sugya, that pasuk, so now the Gemara brings it back into Nedarim and connects that pasuk as well. So right at the top of the Amud, the Gemara starts with Tanya. We learned in the Raisa, Hamoyder Hanome Chaveroi. Somebody makes a neder from his friend. Ein Matirin Loi Elo Bifano. You can only undo that neder in front of him. Now, the question is, what are we talking about over here? So the Ran brings right away that we're talking about that the neder that you made was for the benefit of this. He brings two pshatim, the benefit of the person that you're trying to be matir. So therefore, it's unfair to be matir that neder without him knowing it. So, if you made the neder for the benefit of Reuven, so the idea is, the Ram brings two reasons based on Yerushalmi. Actually, Yerushalmi has two reasons why you have to do a dafka in front of him. If it's because the first reason is busha, that you'll be embarrassed to be matir the neder unless the other person is there. But now this is, again, remember, it's assuming that you did it for his benefit. So if you did it for his benefit, you're going to be embarrassed to undo the neder because you're taking away that benefit. That's one pshat. The other pshat that the Ran brings is chshoda. It has nothing to do with the fact that it was his benefit. It's because as far as this person knows, then it was relevant to that person. So as far as that person knows, you're not supposed to do X, Y, and Z. You're not supposed to take from him. You're not supposed to give him, whatever the case may be. And now all of a sudden he sees that you're doing that thing that he is aware of, that you made a neder. So therefore we require that you're matir the neder in front of him so that he doesn't come to suspect that you're transgressing, that you're violating your own neder. Okay, so those are the two pshatim. The nafkamina would be, there's a few nafkaminas. And one of the simple nafkaminas would be if you simply tell the person that I was matir the neder. So if it's a matter of you're embarrassed to do it in front of him, you would be embarrassed to do it in front of him. So telling him about it after the fact is not going to be helpful. The idea is to prevent you from being matir the neder in the first place. If it's because of chashash, that he's going to suspect that you're violating your neder, so if I tell him afterwards that I did it, that's fine. That's going to be enough. So that's one of the nafkaminas that the Ran brings between the two reasons. But the bottom line is that the halacha is, as a general rule, that if you make a neder that affects somebody else, to be matir that neder, you have to do it with his knowledge. You have to do it in front of him. Those are the words of the Gemara, that you have to do it in front of him. You have to do it in front of him. So the Gemara says, Mina ani mili. How do we know that this halacha is true? Amar Rav Nachman dechsiv, because the pasuk says, and again, this is based on the continuation of the Gemara before. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe b'Midyan lech shuv Mitzrayim. Hashem told Moshe in Midyan, go to Mitzrayim, ki meisu kol anoshim, because they died. So, what's the point of saying, why does the Gemara, or the Pasuk rather, emphasize that it was B'midjan? So the Gemara explains, Amar loy B'midjan nedarta lecha, fa'ataras nedaracha B'midjan. So that just the same way you made the neder in the first place, that you told Yisroi that you were going to stay and you were going to take care of his family. Now, when you're going to be matir the neder, also you have to do it in Midyan, meaning you have to tell Yisroi that you're going to be matir the neder. Because the pasuk says Vayo Moshe. Now, where do we see that he took the neder? Because it says in the pasuk Vayo Moshe, Ein Allah Elo Shvuah, and the word Vayoel comes from the word Allah, which means a Shvuah, as the Gemara itself says that the word Allah means a Shvuah. Dechsev, because we see in other places Vayovay Oisay Be Allah, that he came to him Be Allah. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel when he made a promise. That he made a bris, he made it ba'olo. So when Yecheskel made a bris, he also made a promise, again used the word ba'olo. So we see that ba'olo is a lashon shvur, a lashon neder, It could be, it's a promise, whatever the level of promise is, and therefore we see that Moshe Rabbeinu made this promise. So now that we know that Moshe made a promise, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dafka said that I'm undoing the promise in Midyan, he made the promise in Midyan, is undoing the promise in Midyan, so we see that you have to undo the promise in the same location, or in this for the context and purposes of our Gemara, with the same person as was affected by the Neder. During the second Beis Hamikdash, Klal Yisrael was under control of other kingdoms, but we did have our own king to run kind of the local, the nation. So when Nebuchadnezzar brought Tzidkio in to bring the king, he made him promise that he was going to be loyal. He was going to be loyal to the king. Okay, so that's the context over there. So we see that it was done Ba'ala. That's the lashon of Ba'ala. Okay, and then the Gemara continues and says the Gam. I apologize. The Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni. Gam b'Melech Nebuchadnezzar Morad. He also. This is talking about Tzidkiah, where he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar Asher Hishbioi Beloikim, that he made him swear in the name of Hashem. So, the Gemara itself tells the story, and the story itself reflects this idea that he should have been Matar Neder in front of the person who was affected by the Neder. Mardusei, so what was his rebellion? So the Gemara says, the Gemara tells the story. Ashkechei Tzidkiyo leNebuchadnezzar dahavika ochol arnovo chaya. That Tzidkiyo saw one time he was in the presence of Nebuchadnezzar, he was eating a live, they translated as a rabbit. He was eating it live. Now, which is not really appropriate, especially for a king. So Nebuchadnezzar said to him, swear to me, Deloy Maglis Eluye, that you're not going to reveal this, Veloy Tepik Milsa, and that this will not get out. That nobody's going to know that this story happened. Ishtaba. So Tzidkiyo went ahead and made that shvua that he wasn't going to tell anybody. Now notice, by the way, we flipped over here from the neder to shvua, but Lamaisa, the idea, the concept is the same. So, if, however, as the story history continued, so Nebuchadnezzar was making Tzidkiyo's life very difficult, physically very difficult. It was making him very hard for him. So Tzidkiyo wanted to get back. So he went to Sanhedrin, he went to Beis Din, and he was matter his shvua. Omar, and he told everybody what happened. So of course, Shaman Nebuchadnezzar, the come of Azanlay. So now all of a sudden, the story got out, and Nebuchadnezzar heard that everybody's making fun of him, and he knew that the only source of the story would have been Tzidkiyo. So Sholach, so he sent Va'isi Sanhedrin v'Tzidkiyo. So he went ahead and he sent Sanhedrin and Tzidkiyo to him. Omar Lahoin. And he said to them, Chazisun Maika Oved Tzidkiyo. I see what Tzidkiyo did. Lav hachi yeshtaba b'shma d'shmaya d'loy megalina. Isn't it so that he went ahead and swore that he, in the name of Hashem, that he wasn't going to reveal it? So how did this happen? Amar lei, so Sanhedrin answered him, itshali ashvuase. So he said, yes, he was shoyal on ashvua. Now, let's read the brackets. So amar lei matshilin ashvuase, is it possible? So Nebuchadnezzar went at, like, he sort of repeated back to them, is it possible for him to be shoyal to undo his shvua? Amri lei in, yes, it is possible. He asked and we undid it for him. Amar lahu, so now Nebuchadnezzar said to Sanhedrin, Befanov, I feel shaloi befanov. Are you allowed to undo a shvua? And again, the same thing would be true by neder as we started the sugya. Are you able to do this it doesn't have to be in front of the person who was affected, or even shaloi befanov? Amri lei befanov. So they answered, no, it has to be done with the person that's standing there. Amar lahoin. So Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Va'aton mayavidetun. What did you do over here? Meaning, it was clear that he did this when he wasn't here. My time alayam risun letzidkiyo. Why didn't you tell Tzidkiyo this halacha that you only are allowed to undo it in front of him? Miyad yoshvu la'aretz. Right away, right after the story, so it says that Sanhedrin was put down on the ground. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Yidmu ziknei bas tzioi. Oh, this part of the pasuk. Yidmu ziknei bas tzioi. The higher people of Basin, referring to Sanhedrin, were put down on the ground. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, Sheshamtu karim mitachtehen. That he pulled out the pillows from underneath them. Now, whether there was any physical damage to Sanhedrin or not, it's not it doesn't say in the Gemara, but there are those that learn that that was, that Sanhedrin was punished very severely. But the main thing that the Gemara is saying over here is that he removed the pillows. Now, because as we know from other Gemaras, that when Sanhedrin was done, Sanhedrin would sit on a pillow and the Baal Edinim would not. Sanhedrin would sit on a higher, so to speak, pedestal than everybody else. So by removing their pillows, what he did was he removed their position. He removed their ability. He said, you guys abused your power. You were in control of the halacha, and you didn't paskin incorrectly. So therefore, he removed, that's what it means. Again, this is a, so to speak, not literal translation, but closer to the literal translation of the Gemara, where it says that he removed the pillows from underneath them, meaning he removed their ability to reign as a controlling body of power. Of Sanhedrin. It's a note because the Ran spends a lot of time talking about this. The second large Ran on the Yomid, which goes almost to the bottom of the page, the Ran does talk about, and so if the halacha is that it's clear from the Gemara that you have to be Mater Befanov, what would happen if you're Mater Shaloi Befanov? So the Ran brings the Machlekes Rishonim if the Hatara would actually work or not. So again, just so that you know, that's the long Ran over here, the going through the various Shitas, whether or not it would be Matar or not. Okay? Fine. That takes us to the next Mishnah. Zuck the next Mishnah. Remeir Oimer. Yesh devarim shehein kinoilad ve'einon kinoilad. So Rameir is bringing now a shita that says that we said before in the Mishnah before that was the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham and whether or not you're allowed to rely on noilad to be matar and neder. And the Chachamim shita was that you cannot. So the Pashut Pshat in this Mishnah is that we're going along those Shitas, we're going along those lines. This again is a Machlekes Rishonim, but we're going along the lines that we're holding like the Chachamim that you cannot be Mater with Noilad. So on that note, Reb Meir says, it's not really Noilad. Even though it looks like Noilad, it's not really Noilad, and therefore Reb Meir's Shita is that you could be matter. Ve'ein chachamim moedim loy, and the chachamim do not agree, meaning the chachamim do not, they hold that it is too close to noilad, or, as we'll see in the Gemara, maybe it's because of the chashash, that it looks like noilad, but the point is that the chachamim will not rely, just like they won't generally rely on noilad, they won't rely on this either, because they'll consider this too close to being a noilad. Now that is the girsa that we have in the Mishnah, and that's the girsa that we're going to use. The difference between a pesach and a noilad, because noilad is a kind of Pesach, but a noilad is a more extreme Pesach, meaning there are circumstances that change, but there are certain circumstances that can be anticipated and contemplated at the time you made the neder, and then there are circumstances that you could not have contemplated, or generally speaking would not contemplate or consider when you're making the neder. A noilad is the more, so to speak, extreme case, where at the time you're making the neder, you are not even taking that into consideration at all. Or rather, you could not have anticipated that this would happen. Anything and everything could happen.
Well, you wouldn't anticipate your
father. A Pesach is something that changed, but you could have, should have, would have known about it when you made the neder. So when I made the neder knowing that this might happen, and then all of a sudden it happened, but I didn't want it to happen, but it did happen. I anticipated that it might happen, and that might change everything. So when I made the nether, I made the nether knowing that I don't really mean to make it in that circumstance. If that circumstance happens, that's not what I meant when I made the nether, because I already contemplated that at the time of my nether, I didn't want my nether to apply in that circumstance, and now that that circumstance happened, that's not really where I want the nether to apply. Memela, that's a Pesach. As opposed to a noilad as a whole is an invention of something that I didn't even take into consideration when I made my nether. And therefore, when that happens, I cannot say that that was built into the nether, that the nether didn't apply in that case. Again, it's a little bit of backward, reverse, psychological, because it's so unanticipated that I didn't even take into consideration that I don't want my nether to apply there. That's the difference between Neulein. Again, this is the Girsa that we have in the Mishnah, and this is the Girsa we're going to work with. I just want to highlight and point out to you, because it's worth pointing out, there are Rishonim that learn V'chachomim Moidim. They take out the word V'ein. And they hold that the Chachamim are Moidim, and they base on actually the way the Gemara asked the question, because of the fact that the Gemara asked the question on the Chachamim and not on Reb Meir. They use that as their Raya, that this is also the Shitas Chachamim. And the reason why they want to say that is because they don't want Reb Meir to sound like Rabbi Eliezer Shita. In other words, they don't want you to make a mistake and think that Reb Meir is holding like Rabbi Eliezer, that Noilad is okay. And they're saying that Noilad, you could understood the Chachamim are the ones that are consistent, and they say Noilad doesn't work. And Reb Meir is saying, oh yeah, Noilad works, and this is also, even if it's not Noilad, it works like Noilad. So to avoid that, they want it to be crystal clear in the Mishnah. In other words, they hold that that's the Girsa, the proper Girsa of the Mishnah to make this point, that the Chachamim are moided to Reb Meir, that it Noilad never works. And the question over here is this a Noilad or not? Anyway, but again, I just want to point that out because the Rishonim talk about it, but let's stick to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, which again is, or the Mishnah, but the point is that Noilad doesn't work, and Reb Meir is saying, this is not Noilad, and the Chachamim is saying, no, this is more like Noilad. So the Mishnah itself gives an example, Ketzad. Omar Koinim Sha'ani Noises Ploinis Sha'avia Ra. I am not marrying this girl because her father's a bad person. As we'll see, the Gemara will expand on this as well. Amru loy meis. They go, then later they tell him, oh, by the way, this father-in-law died, Aisha asa tshuva, or he's not a bad guy anymore. Okay, so those are not considered, according to Reb Meir, those are not real noilads. Because, again, using the words that we use, this could have been anticipated. Koinam lebayis zeh, sha'ani nichnas. I'm not going into this house, Shahakelev Rab Basoichu, because there's a mean dog in there. Oisha Anachish Basoichu, or there's a snake. Amruloi, and then later they tell him, Mesakel, the dog died. Oisha Nerag Anachish, interesting change. Or the snake was killed. Harei Hein Kinoilad. The Einan Kinoilad. And once again, according to Rab Meir, these look like Noilad, but they're not really Noilad. And therefore, you could use them as a het of a chachamim moedim, like the chachamim not moedim, meaning the chachamim will say that this is more like noilad, and therefore you cannot use this as a heter to be matter a neder. Okay, so those are the cases of the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to understand and explain what the Gemara says. Koinim shani nichnas lebayis there shakelb. Okay, and then I'm not going in because there's a dog there, and then we find out later that the dog dies. That's Reb Meir's example. That's not really noilad. Okay, so the Gemara itself asks, Meis noilad hu? What do you mean? If a guy dies, that's a whole new circumstance that didn't apply when I first made the neder. So this should totally be a case of noilad. So Gemara gives two teretz, two terutzim. Amar Rav Huna nase ketoyla nidroi bedomer. He made his neder. It's nase, by the way. It's as if he made his neder contingent on a certain thing. What does that mean? So he made it contingent on a fact, and that fact is no longer true. So if that fact is no longer true, so then my neder doesn't apply. Okay, so even though I didn't say it as a contingency, I didn't say I'm not going into the house so long that as the dog is there. I didn't say it that way. I said I'm not going in, and my explanation is because of the dog. It's as if I said it. Again, when we come to Nedarim, it's very important how you say things. So Rav Huna is saying a chiddush is that the understanding is as if you said it properly, as if I said I'm only going in because of the dog, as long as the dog is around. And now that the dog is not around anymore, that's fine. So my neder doesn't apply. But that's the way Reb Huna is understanding Reb Meir. So in other words, I'm manipulating his words a little bit, because he didn't actually say that. He didn't say as long as the dog is around, but because he gave his reasoning is the dog, so now it becomes that I did make that a contingency, and now that the dog is not there, I don't even need a Pesach anymore. Because the dog is not, it doesn't apply. It's not contingent. That is the way Reb Huna learns. Okay, that's one way to see the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I see the Mishnah very differently. The case of the Mishnah is kvar meis, ukvaros atshuva. The case is where the guy already was dead at the time I made the neder, and I was missing that piece of information. Okay, Ka'amrila. That's what was happening. Or he already did tshuva, meaning it was a false pretense. Not that it was, it's not a contingency at all. It's just based on faulty information. And now all of a sudden I'm finding out this information is completely different than what I anticipated or what I thought was the case. So now, that's not noilad. Well, it's noilad to me because I didn't know. But it's not noilad because it's based on a tois. It's a mistake. Okay, it's very important to use that word tois. It's a mistake. So, if that's true, now we can turn to Samachayim Abayz, the top of the Yomid. Mosav Rabbi Abba. Now you'll appreciate the Gemara's question on the top of the Yomid. What's much better? Mosav Rabbi Abba. Koinim she'eni noisa leploinis. I'm not marrying this girl Ku'ura because she's ugly, vahareh no, but she's really pretty. Shchura, she's black, vahareh levona, she's white. So again, this was something, a negative versus a positive. Katsara, she's too short, vahareh arucha, she's really tall. Mutter ba. So in all those cases, these are cases where he made a neder based on a fact, but the facts were not true. The facts were that he thought he was making a neder based on a certain piece of information, and that information is true. And the Gemara itself explains, the case wasn't that she was originally ugly and then she became pretty, or shechura v'nasa levona, she became white, ketzara v'nasa arucha, or she grew. It's not that she changed, it's not that the circumstances changed later, elisha haneder tois. But rather, the neder itself was a tois. Okay, so the Mishnah, the Gemara itself, or the Brisa itself, is explaining that the reason why this is not a good neder, is not a valid neder, you don't need to undo the neder, is because the neder itself was a mistake. Okay, so now, based on the two explanations we gave before, Mishlaim the Rav Huna, to Omar Nasa Ketela Nidra Bedavar. So according to Rav Huna, that said that Pshat in our Mishnah was that our Mishnah was teaching one halacha that I can revamp his words, I could rephrase his words to make it a contingency, and the contingency is not applicable. So Tana Toilu Nidra Bedavar, Vatana Nadra Tois. So I understand why we have two Mishnayos over here. One is, or Mishnah and Abraisa, one is the Mishnah to tell us that I could rephrase his words to make it a tois, or to make it a contingency. And one is the Mishnah to say that there are certain things that are a tois, that I based on false information, it's a tois. So it's two different halachas, according to Rav Huna, that it makes sense that they're two different Mishnahs. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says our Mishnah is also talking about a case where the piece of information was just incorrect. When I made the neder, lomali the Mishnah trezimni neder tois. Why do I need to say this Mishnah and the other Mishnah, which are both saying the same thing, that when I make a neder, that is a mistake, that it's based on false information? It sounds like the Mishnah is, okay, one is more expansive than the other, one is more clear than the other, and the Gemara says Kasha. So the Gemara says Kasha, which means there are two roots into this, that the two Mishnayos are not exactly the same, and there are various halachas that you could learn one without the other, and vice versa. But, Lamaisa, according to the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, this seems like this Mishnah and the Braisa are really saying the same thing. Okay? So that's why fine. So that's the kasha. The Gemara seems to imply that we're going more like we like Rav Huna's direction better. That according to Rav Huna, the Mishnah is teaching us one halacha that I could revamp his words, I could rephrase his words to make it a contingency, because he said that that's really the background to my reason. And there's also a tois. Everybody agrees that when it's a tois, it's a tois, and that's not a good neder as well. Okay, so that's how the Gemara wants to learn it. Okay, now, so we just quoted a Mishnah on the bottom of Samachayim et Aleph. We quoted Rav Meir Shita that says that there's certain things that are noilad that look like noilad, but they're not noilad. So now we have the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, of course, it says v'oid. So we are continuing because it's Amar Rav Meir. It's the oid Amar Rav Meir that Rav Meir is saying another halacha in the context of what you could use to be matur neder. You could tell a guy as a Pesach and say, did you know about this pasuk in the Torah? And if the person says, oh, had I known about this pasuk, I wouldn't have made the neder. That is considered a Pesach. This is also a very big chiddush that Rav Meir is saying, that is also considered something that is a Pesach. So this is what I would say to him. if you would have known that you're going to be over on the following Averis, Loisokum, Va'al Loitzitar. Now, so the way the Rashi, actually, the Mefarish learns over here, is that we're talking about, if I make a neder on a guy that he's not allowed to have hanah from me, why would I make that kind of neder? It must be that I asked him once upon a time to borrow something, and he said no. So I was all insulted, and now I want to make it so that if he ever asks me, I'm not going to give him back, which is exactly the isser of loisakum v'loisitar. So that's why I'm making that. In other words, I think that, of course, if he comes over to me randomly and says, can I borrow your hammer? If I say no, that would be mamish the isser. So I would never do that, because that would be usser. For me to take revenge is usser. So my chap is that I'll make this neder. I'll make the neder, so now I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, I would really love to help you out, but I'm sorry, I made a neder, I can't do that. So the chiddush is, the way Rashi's learning that, Rav Meir's chiddush is that I could say to the guy, by the way, this neder, the stipler explains it like this, that this neder is also the isser of loisiter and loisikum. You think you're getting away with it because you're trying to be, you know, with the firma cheshbon that I made a neder, so I'm sorry I can't help you. No, this neder is for exactly that reason, to get back at him, and therefore the isser of loisikum and loisiter is applicable. Also, va'al, and you can say that the problem was loisisnes achicha bilvavecha, that you're not allowed to hate a person. Again, why would I make a neder that he can't have ano unless I have a problem with him? Or right, so all of these cases are cases where you would say, did you know that these psukim are going to apply in the context of how you're making a neder? Now, so why am I coming to Bezin in the first place? If everybody's happy with my neder and nothing ever happens, that's not going to be the problem. So the Mishnah itself says the case is shehu ani. Now the problem is that I made a neder that this guy's not going to have any hanoah from me, but now it turns out that the guy's a poor guy and he needs my help. And now that he needs your help because of your neder, you're not going to be able to help him. So look at all these psukim that you're going to be over. Omar, he says, Ilu Ayisi Yoideya Shehu Kain, if the person who made the neder says, if I would have known this, Lo Ayisi Noider, I would not have made the neder, Harei Ze Mutter. These are all going to be a neder. Now, okay, so that's the Mishnah. All of this is the Mishnah. And the Chiddush is that I can point out the Psukim that he's going to be over as a result of his neder. Now this is different, as the Ran points out, this is different than the Gemara earlier that we learned, where you can't use a Pesach of saying, you know, Hashem is not happy by the fact that you made a neder. Even though we're using the Psukim in the Torah, Psukim in the Torah is something that a person would be more readily willing to admit, that, you know what, I didn't think about the Pasuk. But nobody's going to go up and say, oh, I thought about Hashem, that Hashem's not going to like it, but too bad on Hashem. Nobody's going to say that. So that's why you can't use Hashem as the way you're mat or something. But I could use a Pasuk, because there's people, you know, sheepishly will admit, you know, I didn't take this Pasuk into consideration. So that's why you're allowed to use that as an excuse. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Zakta Gemara. Amar Rav Huna Bar Katina Lirabona. So Rav Huna said, Nema kol dema'ani lav alai nafal. So we're saying that, you're saying this, why are you getting matter? Again, Mishnah used this example of getting poor, and he wants to find a way to be able to contribute to this poor person's needs. Why doesn't he just say, just because he became poor, lava line off, it's not my problem. My demati, okay, so I'm gonna learn the way the Ran learns. There's two different ways to learn this Gemara. The way the Ran learns the Gemara is as follows. A person can say, anybody who gets poor, lava lai nafal, it's not solely on me, it's not solely my responsibility. My demotali le parnasai, what is upon me to give him his parnasa. In other words, there's 100 people in town, I'm only 1% of his parnasa. Bahadi kulanas, kule alma mefarnasale. I'm just part of everybody else. So why are you looking at me? In other words, why do I need a heter for this? Why can't I give tzedakah to the gabbai, and then the gabbai distributes, and so nobody's really paying attention to me. So again, the way the Ran learns is that I can say that my parnasa should be merged with everybody else so that it's not noticeable. Or the other Rishonim learned that you could say, I give my money to the Gabbai. So fine, so the Gabbai won't give Reuven my tzedakah. He'll use other people's money to give Reuven. And I'll give my money to Shimon. It's not my responsibility to take care of every single individual directly to me. Anyway, that's the other way to learn it. But the idea is the same. The idea is that when I give my money to the Gabbai, it's not really my responsibility necessarily to take care of him in a way that will be noticeable that it's my money going to him. So what's the Isra over here? Why do I have to be Matur the Neder? That was what Rav Huna asked. So Amale, so they answered him, Ani Oimer kol anoifol eine noifol ide gabay tchilo. He says, no, you're making a misconception. You think that my obligation is to give tzedakah to the Gabbai, and then it's the Gabbai's responsibility to take care of the poor people. That's not true. What really is, it's your responsibility to take care of this person. You have a direct obligation to take care of him. The fact that you give it to the Gabbai and the Gabbai takes care of giving it on your behalf, that's just a convenience. But really it is your direct obligation. And therefore, you cannot say, again, to answer his question specifically, who knows, it's just, the question was, again, the way the Ran is learning is, my money gets intermingled with everybody else's money, so there should not be an Isser on my money. So the Gemara's answer is, no, it's not true. Really, it's your responsibility. So your money is directly responsible for him. The fact that the Gabbai is the one who collects it from you and then gives it to him, he's just doing you a service. But it really is your money and it is your direct obligation, so therefore making your neder is a problem because your neder is undermining your direct obligation to give him. Ran does add in one point that not so much the way I said it, but the Ran does add that we're talking about, especially if the person who's an Ani is your relative, if you're your relative, then you do have an obligation even before it goes to the Gabbai. So then you mamish have a direct obligation. That's the way, you're right. The Ran does add in that point, that because he's my relative, so now I do have a direct, the Kroivim, when a relative has a problem, it's first on the Kroivim. It's only if the relatives can't help him, then we go to the public for assistance. But first it goes to the relatives, the direct relatives first. So again, if your question is, well, I'm just part of the Tzibur, the answer is not on your cousin, not on your uncle. Your uncle is your direct responsibility before we go to the general public. Okay. So the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah says, Poitzel na'odom b'ksubas ishtoi. Okay. So we can make a Pesach for a person to pay. He made a neder, so the case has to be, it's actually, once again, as everything else we're learning, it's a machlekes rishonim what the case is, but the bottom line is, the guy made a neder that he's not going to give his wife any hano. And now, he has, as a result, he's getting divorced and he has to pay the ksuba. Okay, so that's the case. Either she made the neder, or he made the neder, whatever the case is exactly, but the point is that there's a neder that the husband is responsible for, and now he has to pay the ksuba because they have to get divorced. So the case of the Mishnah is as follows. That you could use the payment of the ksuba as a Pesach. So let's explain. The Mishnah itself says, there was one person, so here's the case, that he made a neder on his wife that he's not going to give her a hano, and as a result he has to get divorced. And her ksuba was apparently a very expensive, because we know usually it's Masayim. Now it's 400, so it was double the amount that he had to give. It was a very large ksuba. And he didn't want to have to pay it. So he came to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, too bad on you. You have to get divorced. It's your fault. You're going to have to pay the ksuba. Amar loy, Rabbi. So this guy said to Rabbi Akiva, Chesme es dinrin zaniach abo. My father left me an inheritance of 800 dinrin, $800. Notal ache dalad meis. And of the 800, my brothers already took the other 400. Vani dalad meis, and I'm only entitled to 400. So now, my whole inheritance is $400, and she's entitled to $400. Loy daya shetitol hima saim vani masaim. Wouldn't it be fear that, okay, fine, I have to pay the ksuba, but let me at least pay half? Now, the Mefarshim talk about why, what does Hava mean is that he should have to only pay half. But the point is, and this is where the Mefarshim say that she was the one responsible for the nether. In any event, the point is that he was asking that he should only have to pay half. He shouldn't have to pay the full amount. That's all his money. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva responded, Afilo ata moicher sa'aroyishcho. Even if you would sell the hair on your head, ata noisen lo ksubosa, you would be responsible to pay for her ksuba. Again, this is a difficult sentence to understand because usually metaltalin are not meshubah to a ksuba. That's the way we paskin. But even so, so it means even if I give her all the property that I own, in order to support myself, I'll have to sell the hair on my head. Okay, but the point is, Rabbi Akiva is saying, you're not getting out of this one. You're obligated, that's your obligation, that's what you have to pay. Amar loy, so finally the guy says to Rabbi Akiva, Ilo ayisi yadeh shehu kein, lo ayisi noider. If I would know that I was going to have to pay every little last red cent, if I knew that I was going to have to pay every single penny, I would never have made the neder. Oh, she says, oh, you didn't know. Vetir Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, that's a Pesach. You didn't know that you were actually going to have to pay. I don't know why this guy didn't chap that he has a ksuba that he thought he wasn't going to have to pay the ksuba, but for whatever reason, this guy didn't think that he would really have to pay. And now all of a sudden, when it's coming down to it that he's really going to have to pay, they're saying, well, guess what? You really have to pay. So he's like, well, in that case, I didn't want to make the neder. That's the Mishnah. Anyway, the point is that just merely the fact that he thought, so that you can use the ksuba, paying the ksuba itself as your Pesach. So, the Gemara itself asks, "Metaltali mi mishtabi l'ksuba." So what are we talking? So the fact is, it says you're going to have to sell the hair on your head, which is metaltalim. That's not karka. So what, since when is that meshuba to the ksuba? Amar Abaya, karka shava ches meyas dinrin. Dinner. The point is, he had $400 worth of land. It says that he was selling the hair on his head. And that's what he was going to sell to pay the ksuba. So the Gemara itself explains what I said before. Even if as a result of you giving her all your land, all your property, so you yourself have nothing left, so you have, in order to support yourself, you're going to have to sell the hair on your head, that's going to be your problem. You're going to have to sell the hair on your head. Okay, so in other words, to support yourself, you need that. That's your problem. But the karka itself is meshubin, and you're not going to be able to get out of the ksuba that way. However, if that's true, and we're just going to finish with these two more lines in the Gemara, three more lines in the Gemara. If that's true, so what we see from this is that we make no accommodation for this guy to be able to support himself. He has to pay his chayiv, and that's it. So the Gemara says, "Shma mino, ein misajin lebal chayiv." We don't set it up for a bal chayiv. So this happens to be a machloikis. This is a machloikis in the Gemara. The Gemara in Kedushin, whether or not, when a person has a chayiv, if we're going to make him pay every single penny, he's not going to be able to support himself for the future. So it's a machloikis in the Gemara over there, whether we subtract certain items, we give him a bed, we give him his tools to work with so that he can make a parnasa. In other words, we pay everything less than what, you know, certain basic needs that he'll need to support himself. I know, for example, in American law, this concept also exists, that even if a person is obligated to pay and is a personal obligation, he has to pay everything, there are certain things that are not included in your basic obligations. Your clothing, your car, there are certain things that are not included in a general obligation. So the same idea is a machloikus in the Gemara. So we see from here, by the fact that he's saying, well, you gotta sell the hair on your head, means you gotta give her everything. We don't make any accommodations for him, and he's gotta figure it out. So that's what this Gemara seems to prove, which would answer one of the shitas in the Gemara. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, on the top line of Samach Vav Amar Aleph, Loimar She'ein Mekarin Shtar Ksuba. Now, we're not here, the point of this Gemara, of this Mishnah, the Shakla V'Tayyar, was not to say that we're not going to give him his accommodations, to again give him his tools so he could work, or whatever it is that you give him. That is not what the point of this Mishnah is. The point of this Mishnah is that we're not going to subtract from her ksuba merely because of the fact that I didn't realize that this is going to cost me so much. The ksuba is going to remain intact. That's the point of this mishnah. The ksuba is going to remain intact, and you're going to be obligated to pay it. Now, whether you're going to pay the full amount now and be left with nothing, or like the other shita, we'll pay whatever we can pay now, and later, and keep my tools so I can make more money so that I can pay later, that still remains a machlekes. So we might still hold like that shita that I'll pay later. But the point is, I'm not going to get out of the choiv simply because right now that'll ruin me. That's not an excuse. The ksuba remains 100% an obligation, and therefore we're not going to make again, whether or not we make a present accommodation so that he doesn't have to pay every last penny this second, that remains a machloikus in the Gemara and Kedushin. That's not, the Mishnah over here is not trying to get involved in that point. The point that this Mishnah is trying to make is that the choiv, the obligation, remains a full, an entire obligation, and you're going to have to pay every penny, whether it's now or later, you're going to have to pay. And we don't reduce the ksuba based on the fact that he didn't mean to make the neder to have to fall under this obligation. Okay, we'll stop over here.